Holmes & Hops is proudly supported by Platt Insurance, your local independent insurance agency offering auto, home, life, business, and farm insurance. They also have a team of specialists that help you with insuring your brewery or winery. Platt Insurance, helping you protect your tomorrow. For more information or a quote, please call them at 330-856-6244 or visit them on the web at plattinsurance.com. Hello, everyone. Lisa Resnick here, Holmes & Hops. I am drinking Birdfish's Bohemian Pilsner with special guest Eric Cromer of Union Home Mortgage. What's up, Eric?
Not much. Thanks for having me. I'm actually drinking. Can I? Darlene.
That's right. Modern Methods.
One of Modern Methods staples.
That's right. And which definitely still go out to Warren and check them out at Dave Grohl Alley. I know that they have their lemonade stand for you to be able to still be able to purchase their beer. Of course, Birdfish too.
Yeah.
Go check them out and try some of their new beverages that they have going.
Get out of the house.
That's right.
Do something, right?
While we can before the snow comes,
I was
right?
I say, weather's beautiful and everybody's cooped. Well, I don't know. With this environment that we're in, everybody seems cooped up.
What environment? Everything's totally hunky-dory out
completely
there.
Completely sane. Yes. Right?
So I remember at the beginning of COVID when we first would talk and everything, and I know you were super slammed with refis, actually helped us out with our refi as well.
Yep.
Which, thank you.
You're welcome.
But while I, on the other hand, I think on the real estate side, things were a little bit slower on the selling and purchasing because people were trying to feel things out. And then come May, boom.
Boom.
I mean, it's like five spring markets hitting you all at once.
It's a bit intense, isn't it?
It is a bit intense. And I will say the niceties have
oh yeah,
has seemed to have faded away.
Yeah, there's no time to respond. It's react because you really don't have time to do anything else, to be honest with you.
It's true. Like, so I had a house that I put on the market recently in Canfield that we did get the multiple offer situation, which many of us are experiencing. And it finally went under wraps. Both parties signed late last night. So
nice.
Which is good. So this morning I woke up and around 8:30, I got around to changing the status from active to under contract.
Okay.
So Nadi, I would say maybe about 12 hours. I get this text from an agent saying, nice of you to let me know that it went under contract.
Yeah.
And I was like, this literally just happened. And she was like, you know, I just can't stand it. And it's like, girl, I understand what you're going through.
Yeah.
But no need to snap. It's all right.
There's a lot of frustration out there. And again, when you don't have time to hit the pause button to maybe respond better. Again, everybody's reacting. So we're in this environment of you know, reacting rather than responding. And maybe the communication isn't as pleasant, if you will.
I think what I said to her was, I understand your frustration.
Yeah.
I typically try not to respond that way directly to the person. However, I will definitely mutter under my breath a comment.
But like we all do.
Exactly. I think that's totally acceptable. But really, I do think that there's a level of professionalism that we should always try to keep because at the end of the day, we may end up having to work with that person again.
Yeah. I hear a lot of consumers, a lot of buyers out in the marketplace talking about, you know, they're just surprised at the speed of which real estate is moving as soon as these homes get on the market.
Which is true. I'm excited about it because this was my world in DC. So I don't think people realize how awesome this is that it's happening here.
Yeah.
So in the DC market, very much used to the multiple offers, like a property going up on the market, going under contract, especially if it's an up and coming area, instantaneously. So I'm very excited for the sellers out there that this is what they're experiencing. Yep. And I'm excited buyers are able to take opportunity of the interest rates, Eric.
Yeah, right. So the rate environment is the lowest we've ever seen. Probably will never get back to this low level again. Again, keyword probably, but what it's doing is creating a lot of purchasing power for people that were in pockets of a certain range. And then with the low rates where they're at, it's obviously creating a little bit more purchasing power because they can afford more with the low rates.
I remember a few years back, gosh, time just seems to be linear with me. But I remember with my buyer consultations. Mm-hmm. So I like to try to sit down as often as I can with buyers before we go out on the hunt for properties. Mm-hmm. And I also like to bring a lender with, because a lot of their questions seem to be geared more towards what they could afford.
Sure.
But I used to show them, because visualizations are key. Mm-hmm. I used to show them the chart of their buying power based upon the interest rates. Because yep. I remember 2008, 2009, it was down to 5%, around hovering around 5-6 or whatever. Was it 8-9 or 7-8? 7-8, I think it was hovering around 5-6.
They dropped.
I know, that was the 08. Great. Yeah, that was the. But that was a market crash from 2000 and early 2000s, and then you had the spike in the market again. I know people were crying at homes when mm-hmm. they would go see them, buyers begging to be able to get their offers accepted. And this is DC, and but the rates were higher then.
Yeah.
And then the market crashed, and then the rates went down. And I remember utilizing the chart, and I can tell you on that, there was never a 2 or 3 when presenting a 30-year fix and what their buying power and how much it increases the home that they'd be able to purchase.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so a lot of people are talking about, you know, it being a seller's market and maybe dropping adjectives like inflated market. Oh, the market's yes. too high. It's going to come back down again. And you got to think, you know, it's a double benefit. Because of the low interest rates, you're going to be able to afford more. So if you wait, you know, we've been talking about the election coming up. Obviously, we don't know where the market's going to go and the economics of it. But once things maybe normalize on a price standpoint, the rates are going to, you know, it's going to have a converse relationship. So it's going to just go up with the rates, things balance out everything out. And I'd much rather have a lower rate for the long haul than get a lower price.
I mean, I agree completely with you, in which the market typically around presidential elections usually mm-hmm. fluctuates. There's instability. And then once whoever the president is, this is an ongoing thing, which makes sense
of course.
There is uncertainty who's going to be the next leader of the free world. So come on, like, we want to know before we settle on anything. So come then, do you think the rates will increase a bit, or do you think?
Yeah, because I think what the federal government is doing right now, along with the Federal Reserve, is keeping them down for a reason. Again, you know, economically and politically charged. There's yes. motives behind that. And I think come November, when it, you know, when the election is over and we now have maybe a different person in that seat, or the same person in the seat, depending on which it goes. But there's going to be changes after that is finalized and determined. Common sense and historically speaking, there's only one direction that they're going to go.
I mean,
they're going to creep up a little bit. How fast they're going to creep up, again, TBD.
I think it'll be incremental and slow. I think it'll be slow. I don't think anybody's willing to do the shockwave to the system just yet. I think I'm sure you've heard, there's definitely speculation about what's about to happen to our economy. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's definitely the people that are like, how is Wall Street now at 2,500? Like with everything going on in the world, where is this money coming from? How is this being funneled in? There's definitely conspiracy theories, everything that's
been everything's a conspiracy theory.
Everything is a conspiracy theory. But, you know, is it conspiracy or is it just certain people's motives?
Yeah.
Really? But it is going to be interesting to see the one thing that I do cautious people, definitely take advantage of the buying power that you're going to have with these current rates hovering between the 2 and 3. But I do caution, and correct me if you think I'm wrong.
Okay.
Which I'm sure you will.
I'm waiting for this one.
So if you, and this question actually has been posed to me. So if you purchased a property now, let's say you bought a place for $400,000 because that's what the rate has allowed you to do while before you were at a $300,000 home. And 4 years from now, you're looking like you were hoping to dump that property, move to Florida, which I'm not sure if that is something that people are looking to do anytime soon, but California, well, nope.
Yeah, right.
I'll come up with one.
let's say the
Wyoming,
Carolinas.
Wyoming, Montana. So you're looking to get a little bit closer to the border of Canada. Right. I don't know, whatever you want to do.
Yeah, wherever, right?
but would you say to them that this is a good time to buy? For them, if they're looking at 4 years from now to get rid of that property and move someplace else, out of state, whatever it may be, down the road. Because in my mind, I was thinking, well, what if the rates are back up to 4 or 5? You've now bought at a higher price because it is all pretty much equaled out probably. That you are now going to be listing your house. Let's say even at the same price that you purchased it 4 years prior, but the rates are higher. So what do you think, in your experience, how much do you think? Do you think that it's something that people who are looking to only be in this house for a few years should be like proceed with caution? Or do you think, don't worry about it. It'll be fine.
Well, I think the answer to that question is, in my humble opinion, would be, you know, when you overanalyze, you know, the old paralysis by analysis.
Yes.
Everything, you know, when we talk about foresight and then looking, you know, hindsight being 20/20, you already know it. But I always think that it's a good opportunity to buy because you can never predict where the market's going.
That's 100%
true. If you try and wait and try and time, everybody knows the old adage that you can't time out the stock market. You can't time out any market, to be honest with you. There's two things I always think in the real estate market. One, ownership is king.
True.
And two, I always 100, and this is all BS, no kidding, or all no kidding aside, no kidding here, all kidding aside.
Is that a Freudian slip?
Yeah, right. The value. So I've been working with obviously the realtor population.
Yes.
With the lack
God
of
bless you.
With the lack of inventory, some of the buyers are going beyond the real estate MLS listings.
Yes.
And knocking on doors, walking up to homeowners that they see, maybe a roll-up dumpster in their driveway, and they're going, I wonder if they are prepping to sell. In fact, that's happened in the past 2 weeks where a buyer went up to just that. And they got contracted for sale. So they're on their own for sale by owner. And the second component that I'm speaking about, not only do I think real estate is one of the best investments ever that you can make, is work with a licensed realtor.
Oh my God, yes.
There is so much value in every aspect of it, whether it be as a seller, as a buyer, contracts. The just the smaller minute details in the contracts. I mean, I can probably rattle off 20 reasons why you would hire representation from a realtor.
Oh, 100%.
And you go online and you see all the, you know, hey, I'm going to save the common thought processes, which is incorrect and inaccurate. And the proof is in the pudding on my deals that I work on is that both parties are going to, I know I'm using air quotes right now. I know the audience can't see this, but they're going to save money. Whether it be the seller not hiring an agent and have to pay their commission, the buyer not having it, it's all about proper representation and the analytics behind it and all the data behind it. There's just far too much value in a realtor. And I'm not saying that because I work primarily with realtors. I'm just getting both sample sizes from both ends of it. And the for sale by owner deals and transactions are riddled with errors, omissions, nightmares, and everybody regrets it after. Again, when you ask me, in 4 years is a good time to buy? Well, I can see it right now. That realtor representation and hire is, I'm telling you right now, 2020 vision, hire an agent. Period.
I completely agree with that. And just being in the industry and knowing all the, there's nothing mundane about what we do, but the experience is there with every transaction that we have. And there's always something that can come up and comes up, and having a licensed professional be able to be there to see you through that process.
Multiple somethings, by
yes.
the way.
And oh, yes. Yes. You.
There are. Multiple somethings always arise.
It's crazy, the things that could occur. Mm-hmm. And typically when you do, like, oh, I'll just go to a title agency and they'll draw up the contract and we'll be fine. Title attorneys are adherent to the contract.
That's it.
So they're not there representing the buyer. They're not there representing the seller. They're there to represent the contract.
Correct. Not less than 24 hours ago, I had a title attorney email us a contract over with, I kid you not, a $70,000 error.
Oof.
Oof.
Wow.
Yes. $70,000. It's... I won't go into the details. I won't bore you with them, but it was so... apparent. And again, you know, which hat do you put on? Obviously, neither one of us can put on the realtor hat.
No.
So you're seeing it and you can't advise anything. You just give them the numbers and the data, and then it comes full circle where, again, the lack of representation, the lack of information. It's just, again, a $70,000 error. That blew my mind.
It's a pretty big error. I actually have a friend back in Virginia, mm-hmm. and she's not in real estate at all. But one of her friends is a very successful agent in Loudoun County. And she was looking for some part-time work. So mm-hmm. she asked me, hey, what do you think if I worked for her? Do you think that's a good idea? She's saying it's just 20 hours a week, whatever it may be. And I was like, and she goes, I'm worried that our friendship might be impacted by it. And I explained to her, I was like, the real estate industry can be super intense. Mm-hmm. The last thing you can do is make an error on numbers. I was like, you can make a grammatical error, fine, whatever, that can be fixed. But if you forget, omit a zero, add a zero, change up the percentages of the commissions incorrectly, mm-hmm. you're impacting somebody's dollar somewhere along the line. So you need to be very detailed oriented.
Which, by the way, that impacting the dollar impacts their life.
Oh, yeah. Big time.
Totally.
Big time.
It's amazing that...
You forgetting the word the, or saying
it's nuts?
Yeah, or not mentioning a new roof or newer roof, mm-hmm. which you got to pay attention when Correct. You're reading.
Yeah, you're right.
Newer is very subjective.
It is very subjective.
I remember going in and it said...
Relative to what? Exactly.
It's like newer from 1990.
Yeah. It's funny. And a lot of folks in our industry don't really respect the position that we put our clients in, buyers and sellers.
Yep.
And I see it too much on my side of the desk with other institutions, other loan officers out in the marketplace, and even maybe not, you know, based in our marketplace, maybe in the old, on the interwebs. With, you know, spaceships and rockets flying around. But,
well, now you can make offers on Zillow.
Oh, yeah.
Like directly through Zillow. Mm-hmm. It's just amazing to me that somebody is willing.
It's nuts.
It really is amazing. Like, I just don't
understand.
There's
a reason their revenues and profits are at record levels, because they are, gosh, I don't know if I want to say this, but I'm going to say it. Unfortunately, they're taking advantage of the situation of ignorance from the general public.
And actually, I have somebody I'm working with now that got trapped in the whole lead system. Mm-hmm. So I'm just going to disclose this right now to everybody. So So being a real estate agent is, it's not the easiest job to go into. And when you do have these monstrosities such as Zillow and Realtor that everybody is gathering their information regarding homes, real estate agents have found themselves in the unfortunate position to have to pay to play. Mm-hmm. And what maybe a lot of the people don't understand is that when you click on that property that you find so attractive and you want to go see, in your mind, you're probably thinking you're reaching out to the listing agent, but you're not. You're reaching out to whoever is paying to play. And that is the lead system in which agents, and they do, they pay a lot of money to, mm-hmm. to capture you all out there that are looking for homes. But it is misleading. Mm-hmm. It's always been one of those and when I was in DC, I started off in a lead system program. So I was trained on the conversion and how to do it so you don't find yourself in a situation that a buyer is confused with who you are when you show up at the property. And I have noticed here that maybe the training, maybe in the conversion, mm-hmm. it ends up some misleading consumers out there to think that they are the listing agent.
Right.
And then they show up at the property and then it hits them that the person opening the door doesn't look like the person on the sign.
Yep.
Wait a sec, what's happening here? Then they're like, hey, do you work for that person? And they're like, oh, well, I work with them, blah, blah, blah. I represent buyers or whatever it may be. But that is the reality of the situation, that when you are searching through those sites, that is what happens. And if you do have an agent that you work with, make sure you contact that agent that you've been working with first going through those sites.
Yep.
And every property that you see on those sites, with exception to for sale by owners, can be, or you're getting those listings already from the agent that has you set up on a search with the criterion that you're looking for.
You know what people need to do? They need to trust their gut again.
Yeah.
So when they're out there doing all these lead capture, information capture, getting out to a property, maybe seeing somebody that, again, they've worked with you for a certain amount of time, maybe due to time constraints or whatever the variable is, they find themselves in the front yard with somebody else. Mm-hmm. Doesn't feel right. Nothing. It doesn't sound right. And therefore, it isn't right. And they plow through that process anyways.
Yes,
rather
they
than,
do.
Again, listening to the gut and just backing out and saying, hey, you know what? This isn't the right thing to do right now. And I need to call somebody else. I need to call my agent.
That's
who
right.
I've represented or had represent me.
Yeah.
The past. God knows how many days and weeks or months.
Exactly. It's like getting that bad haircut.
Mm-hmm.
Like you told the stylist what you wanted and then it's not what you wanted at the end, but you sit there quietly and you say,
yes.
And you still say, thank you.
Or just.
And then you still pay.
Right. I had a realtor yesterday tell me that. It's exact analogy. It's like sitting in the chair, getting half done and them just turning off their clippers or putting down their scissors and just literally going,
yes,
I am finished.
Oh, yeah.
And
it's
you
amazing.
Just say, oh, okay, thank you.
It's absolutely amazing.
It's nuts.
I saw a commercial once that I was trying to find again. It's from, I think it's one of my our competitors, mm-hmm. Remax with Bergen. We're all very much friends with one another. And this is on a national level commercial. And it was an agent showing a couple a house. And then the next scene was the agent saying to the couple, well, here, like you got the house, it's under contract. Mm-hmm. And then the couple's like, wait a second, but what's going on? And he goes, well, see you at closing. And then the person was out, and like this poor couple was left to fend on their own when it comes to like the home inspection,
yeah.
like having just somebody to like lend an ear during the process with lending. Cause you know,
well, it's amazing what everybody starts online, right?
Yep.
I'm not saying anything new to anybody out there, but everybody starts online, whether it be the Zillows of the world, the Quicken Loans, Rocket Mortgage, you know, spending what, I think their claim to glory and their actual advertising that this is a benefit is you can get a pre-approval in 4 minutes.
And you can't.
To spend that much time on a potential $100,000, $200,000, $300,000, $400,000 investment, and I'm going to spend 4 minutes online and get a pre-approval in hand that isn't as good as the paper is written on. Same thing with Zillow and iBuyer is one of them as well. There's these, all yes. these online resources that spend zero time. And then when you contact somebody locally, it's the discovery phase. It's a true discovery phase on your plan, your strategy wrapped around what you plan on doing with the purchase. And for these folks to, maybe not the individuals, but the companies, to devalue that and strip all of that away and pocket that in a 4 to 7 minute process is sick to me.
It is.
It's ridiculous.
And I will also give this advice. When you are dealing with a competitive market as buyers right now, bringing me as a listing agent, mm-hmm. I am looking at 4 offers right now.
Yep. Let's talk about that.
And I mean, the pre-approvals, number one, need to be there and part of the offer package.
Right.
First and foremost, there's a magnitude of times that I've gotten offers with no pre-approval mm-hmm. that I then have to go back to the agent. Like, listen.
Sure. Waste like, time.
I was
waste
like,
energy.
What seller is going to sign off on an offer without having a pre-approval, or at least that listing agent should never advise a seller to sign off on anything right without a pre-approval. So let me state that. But when you're dealing with a competitive market as it is, and you want your offer to look the best as possible, mm-hmm. keep it local. Keep it somebody that you know that's around here that would be able to have that connection with their entire team.
Let me add to that.
Yes.
2 components.
Oh, yeah.
Keep it local and keep it reputable.
Yes.
Because there are some usual suspects who will go unnamed.
Oh, yes. Yes, that, I've dealt with one of them.
Yeah, that listing agents in the marketplace, when they see a pre-approval cross their desk from XYZ Bank.
I know, I'm trying not to call anybody out.
No, we're definitely not going to state names. But again, we know them as the usual suspects. They are local. They have a very big presence in our marketplace, but when you present as a buyer, again, and you're going in mm-hmm. with that pre-approval from that institution, you are immediately putting yourself at a disadvantage because of the stigma and the reputation
yes.
they have built based on that damn paper pre-approval.
100%. And it's also one of those when you get that 4-minute pre-approval mm-hmm. online as well. Mm-hmm. Every agent knows and have worked with them at one point or another.
Yeah, the old spaceship.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And that too is not an advantage. They're going to want to see something from a more reputable lender that is in the area.
Yeah.
So when you're dealing with a competitive market, definitely go with who your agent is recommending, because they definitely could tell you experiences greatly about who they've worked with and who they'd prefer, and know that they've had those good experiences. Yeah. I mean, I have no issues at all recommending Eric at all to and Union Home Mortgage to anyone that I have worked with, or even when I'm working with the sellers, mm-hmm. when the buyers are presenting offers and saying to the agent, hey, you know, if you want to make this look better, I would stick with this person.
Yeah. We've had some experience with that, and it, you know, it comes down to, again, even sellers have had a pre-approval from XYZ Bank, and not even the realtor rep, but the seller themselves will just say, you know what? We had a pre-approval from them last time, and we're just not accepting them again. Period.
Oh, yes, this is true.
I would imagine that happens, right?
It's like, it does.
If it goes that bad or that south that quick, and they lose all faith in that pre-approval and the institution that pre-approved that buyer, again, nobody's perfect. We understand that, but there is a definite stigma attached to some of these lenders, institutions.
There is, and I do think that imperfections are acceptable to an extent, especially when the party who has made the error is willing to accept and correct and be as proactive as possible trying to resolve the situation instead of being like, eh, it is what it is.
True, true. We know human error occurs in every facet of life,
yes,
both personally, professionally. But, you know, when you talk about ownership of the human error, that's really when people show their true colors and true identity, yeah, when balk at the ownership opportunity of said error.
This so, is true.
It's and, funny.
And I will admit there may be times that it might take me 24 hours to accept the error that I made, because I will first, there are times where I'll defend an error and then I'll be like, oh, it sets on you.
Yeah.
And then of course, then you're, was it eating crow? Is that, I am the worst with sayings. It's eating crow the next day, apologizing to people.
I just love it when you use them wrong and I just let them go. What is that cliche? The road ends on a buck beaver. It's like, yes, confirmed.
Yes, Lisa, you are absolutely correct.
But thankfully, you know, like real estate is so damn easy to talk about. It's universal. You know, it's like music, sports, real estate.
Do you ever get tired of it, though?
Not yet. And I've been doing it for 15 years. So I'm not tired of it yet. I'm still having a lot of fun. I'm smiling all the time. I'm not stressed, even though the volumes are crazy right now. The demand is high on our job.
Actually, let's divert.
Mm-hmm.
How crazy, because again, when we spoke before,
yes,
at the beginning of COVID, you were crazy refi. And now you are crazy refi and buying crazy.
Yeah. So COVID 100% affected consumer confidence. I mean, people were worried about their job, what was going to be shut down. I mean, the whole process was, you know, the purchase side of things slowed down tremendously. Consumer confidence is back. Everything is just moving along, right? And our volume and our pipelines are just insane right now. Nobody was staffed properly to handle the volume. Doesn't matter if you are a smaller local credit union or, you know, local bank, or a billion-dollar lender like us or a broker. Again, it was across a board and universal. Nobody was staffed properly. So processes are taking longer. Underwriting is taking a bit longer. Appraisers, title companies, everybody is just bogged down with volume. So we can't hire fast enough. I'm using the analogy right now of, you know, we're big Cedar Point goers, big time roller coaster fans. So I've been using that analogy and asking the buyers if they're familiar with standing in line at Cedar Point or getting in line at Cedar Point.
Yes.
This is before fast passes were ever in play. And I make sure that I know, let them know that we're talking, you see the sign outside that roller coaster and it said it's a 2-hour wait to get your butt in the seat. Well, do you remember being in line, standing out in the heat, no sun cover, hotter than hell, and you're expecting a 2-hour wait, and that 2-hour wait becomes a 4-hour wait?
Yes.
And you're standing in line, sweating, frustrated, and pissed. It strips the whole experience of the roller coaster ride, and all they had to do was tell you up front that it was a 4-hour wait.
Yes.
So you've got to shift and change the expectations during the ride. Halfway through, maybe have somebody on the announcer come in, say, hey, something happened, and we're experiencing a longer wait than normal. But that never happened, right?
No.
So now we're shifting the expectation mid-process, and I'm saying to these buyers and to the agents, listen, I'm letting you know up front that we're experiencing a 4-hour wait. And guess who cares about that? Not a single soul.
So actually, I think Eric probably wanted to wring my neck probably about a week or so ago because, again, we're in a competitive market. Mm-hmm. We want to make our offers look as attractive as possible when you're working with the buyer. And keeping closings, that is like basically making sure the lender is able to provide the money to you within a certain amount of time is extraordinarily important to make your offer beat out or be acceptable to sellers, because I, number one, come from a world where lending was able to get done in 21 days mm-hmm. all the time. And 30 days was a cushioned
sure.
lending process of basically you can sit back, relax, sip on your Bohemian Pilsner from Birdfish.
Yeah, you got a nice plug.
Thank you. But now we're dealing with when I first started practicing here and people were like, oh, it's typically 45 days. I was like, mm-hmm. what? Like, yeah. what's everybody doing? Like, are they going on vacation, coming back? Like, what's happening? But now with the magnitude of volume that you have, because yes. it's not just your buyers, you are dealing with a lot of refis at the same time.
Throw in the fact that the bulk of the staff is everywhere.
Not enough.
Well, it's not only not enough, but you had to take a full op center, and including title reps mm-hmm. and title agents and escrow agents. Again, we were thrown into an environment that you could not be in the office. So you had to go 100% remote and not even have a single hiccup in that process.
Yes.
So you're asking everybody to get the hell out of the office. Can't work in the office. You got to work from home.
And then you deal with demanding agent Bs such as myself.
And you have title agents that can't sign people. Like, you know, they've got construction going on at the office to make it COVID compliant and safe.
Yes.
So there are so many different variables, including, like you mentioned, with sellers that, you know, listen, I got to be out of my house in 30 days. So I can't accept a higher offer with a 45-day close. I'm going to take maybe, and I'm not talking significant numbers, but we'll take a lower offer with the closing day that works for me and my family.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's true.
It comes back to your point of the 30-day close.
Yes, it is. So, and I did. I hit Eric. And I will say, I used to be good at calling you first. And saying,
used to.
That is true. Used to be good calling them first and being like, hey, can you do this?
Right.
But
you know,
but,
we can.
But then that's the problem. Is Eric always did it. So then I was like, well, I know Eric can keep doing it. So I'm just going to throw several at him at that 30-day marker.
Mm-hmm.
So far, things are going good though, right?
Yeah. But yeah. So not that, again, this is...
We've probably only had one delay, and it wasn't because of Union Mortgage.
Yeah, it's just...
It wasn't.
And then you add in every day that drops off. So again, you send a contract over. The listeners, if they're buying a home and they get into a contract today, what is today? Wednesday. Let's even use Friday as a better variable.
Okay.
So Lisa, you get your buyers into a contract Friday evening, and everybody's pumped. We got an executed contract, maybe an initial's missing. So it's not fully executed, but
it's enough.
We're in contract on Friday. You lose, typically, it depends on when you're going to be able to get with that buyer again.
Mm-hmm.
And on the loan officer side or the bank side, banks we all know are you know, well known for being closed on the weekends.
Oh, yes.
Very difficult to get in touch with. But regardless, and besides that point, is if you don't get with that buyer the same day that the contract is executed, you're already, every day that goes by is a day that you're missing in that 30-day contract. And a lot of deals, as you know, and everybody knows this, a lot of deals are happening over the weekend in
yes.
real estate. And it's heavy volume over the weekend with you guys.
It is.
You work your buns off on the weekend.
We do.
So... Yeah.
I always love when buyers apologize. Like, I'm sorry to bring you out here on a Saturday. And you're like, but that's what I do.
Yeah, but you know when they're apologizing for that, they're running your rag. They're running you.
Oh, yeah.
They're running you. So it's good that they respect what they're doing to you as well. And I understand you're kind of numb to it now. And you say, no need for an apology. I appreciate you saying that. But
just don't stop calling me at 11 p.m. at night.
The accessibility on everything is, but it's that spans all industries and professions now. It's
there's no off.
Now everybody knows you got the cell phone connected to your hip, and it's the text, the calls, the emails, hell, emails aren't even a problem anymore. It's the calls and text beyond.
I do want to let everyone know a little trick is Gmail does let you schedule your emails. So if you are working late at night or you are seeing things, and I know because I get that way too of being like, this popped into my mind regarding this transaction, mm-hmm. or this house would be perfect for someone. If you put it in an email, you can schedule it out. So I'm not texting somebody past 9 o'clock at night because I do try to respect people's times. Try. But because I do the same thing. But if I've started doing the email, scheduling it out. So you may get something from me at like 7:30 a.m. in the morning, but I figure we're all up. But yeah. but I'll schedule out emails. So then that way I'm not disturbing people's evenings, and that is something that's hitting them first thing in the morning.
Yeah. And it, you know, just talking about this whole market in the Tri-County area.
I know.
You know, it's a beautiful, wonderful thing right now.
I know.
To kind of come full circle on just the environment that we're in.
So then you have Columbiana that currently still has their tax abatements.
Mm-hmm.
Canfield is having their tax abatements now.
Yep.
Salem, I believe, is also going to be doing the same thing. So you have all these other factors that are coming into play to drive real estate as well.
Yeah. And you know, I'm thinking of the brewers and the restaurants and just, you know, the impact that COVID had on them. And
yes.
Again, yeah, I'm just glad to see people outside again, moving. You know, we're all in tune to what the mandates are from the government.
Yes.
And we're just, you know, we're cautiously just trying to get back to normal as quickly as possible. Now the hot topic is everybody's talking about school. What the heck's going to go on with back to school? And, you know, there's a different dynamic and topic.
That is a whole new topic. I will say for all of the players that are making the decisions when it comes to school systems right now and what to do with the kids, I think that they are in a horrible position that I would never envy.
Lose.
It is lose-lose.
Yeah.
There is no right answer. And I think everybody should understand there is no right answer that is not impacting kids one way or the other.
And teachers.
So it's just, once you come to that realization, I think that there, from that point on, there needs to be some sort of understanding and empathy, mm-hmm. of those people that are making those decisions. I do think timeliness of decisions in certain situations in certain school districts, maybe the one that I'm in, could be a little bit better than what it currently is. Mm-hmm. I mean, we are now in August and I don't know when our kids are going back to school yet. So that, however, and I don't know if it is they're still trying to make that decision or they're trying to shrink the amount of time that they hear the complaints regarding the decisions that they've made.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Who knows, right? It's when you say understanding, we have to, again, understand what we don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
Or just accept the fact that we don't understand a lot of the underlying variables that they have to consider that we just, you know, we're so focused on, we've got the tunnel vision.
Oh, yeah.
Rather than having the whole scope of what they're considering. And, you know, when we talk real estate and we talk home ownership, it, you know, when it comes time right about now, it's, hey, we got to get in before the school year starts. And there's a lot of that dialogue going on. And I'm not hearing that right now. You know, the mm-hmm. topic is like you mentioned, what is going on? When is the start date?
Yes.
Are we going to be remote, mix, whatever? But I'm not hearing the, hey, I got to be in or we got to be closed on our deal so we can get in that district in time in order for my kids to be a student.
You 100% know, that's true.
Yeah. So.
And I do not envy teachers and I don't envy the children right now and what they're going to have to deal with in going back to school.
The kids are resilient though. They're going to be, in my opinion, they're going to be okay because they just, you know, they're kids. They're going to, as long as they're going to take our direction, right? It's how we frame it as parents. I think it's the faculty and the teachers and the staff. Like
that. I think it's just going to be interesting when our kids are our age or older.
Oh, gosh.
And have their own kids and grandchildren.
You remember that COVID?
I know. I wouldn't say every day, probably once a week, I think to myself, we are living in the history books right now. And and as crazy as it is and crazy as the time is, there is going to be this moment where our children are going to be reflecting back and talking about their experiences live in person during this time. That because when their kids come home and say, hey, mom, dad, like, this is what I'm reading in class today. Yeah.
2020 was a nightmare. But 2020 is it.
2020, what was that about?
Yeah, there's so many things, everything.
Like, it's definitely you could just, roaring.
Oh, my God.
Just not.
Roaring 20s. It's
not in the way that it was in 1920.
I just shut my eyes and go to bed. It's nuts. It is. It's nuts. But nuts in such a, again, it's forever changing.
It is.
What and how we're going to do pretty much everything. Education, all the industries that it's affecting, it's changing the makeup of all.
And all we have to look back on is our history books and analysis of like times in which like the Spanish flu or whatever, like that's all we have. Like all those resources and everything of those that have actually lived in was like, hey, we did try this, all those intricate details. We are discovering for ourselves with this pandemic that we are experiencing. I will say this, I have a tendency now that the moment somebody says they know COVID and 19, they know everything about it, they know what works, what doesn't work, the moment that they are definitive in their responses about where they stand on whatever issue it is, that's the moment that I realize that they don't know anything.
Yeah. Yep.
Because I don't think any of us do, especially at our level.
No.
It's not like we're with NIH or we are with the CDC and getting like firsthand knowledge of that information. We are, I mean, this is like, was it telephone or whatever? CNN? What is it, like telephone or the can thing? I don't know. But
I don't know either. I'm at a loss because I was engaged there. I was wondering where you were going with it, but it is
it's nowhere.
No, it's funny because you know all the acronyms on all these agencies. You don't know what to believe anymore. Who's right? Who's wrong? Which direction it's going? Again, directionless is a pretty scary thing, and hopefully they just figure it out sooner or later.
I know, right?
It will.
So, let's say. That other countries allow us into their borders and school does not reopen back up. Would you go on a trip someplace and be like, hey, we'll do some distance learning in Nova Scotia?
You know, no. Me personally, only because I haven't done too much traveling in the States. So... You know, I relate it to something in my profession or whatever I'm doing. Like, I gotta, you know, if I wanna, I don't leapfrog things, which means, you know, if I'm in the Tri-County area and I notice maybe in Ashtabula or up north, up or down south, east, west, whatever it is, you know, I fully believe I haven't mastered this market. So let me master this market. Let me master, you know, my traveling in the States and see what the United States has to offer with different, you know, again, I
adventures.
Yeah, I've rarely been out west. So I would definitely do some Montana visits. I got a friend there that I've been dying to go see. So I would definitely stay in the borders and do some traveling here in the States before I would go abroad. But I know, you know, it's funny to see, you know, me with the backpacking and the hiking up in upstate New York. A lot of Canadians, obviously all the Canadians cannot come down and do their hiking in the mountains in the wilderness. And they're itching to get down here and do that traveling, what they're used to, and get out in nature. And it's just, you know, it's funny, everybody just has this pent-up frustration on a lot of things.
We do.
What about you? Would you go abroad and do some...
100%.
Yeah? First locale, where are you going?
Well, we were supposed to go to London, so we'd probably, as soon as they let us back in, that would be the first trip that we would go on.
All right.
And then, but honestly, I have three places that I would love to hit up statewide. It's Zion National Park.
Oh, yeah.
That's like my dream place to go.
Is it?
It is.
Number one?
It is. That's all my right. number one. That's all been right. my number one for a while. And then two would be Nova Scotia, as I mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
And three would be Vancouver.
Oh, yeah. Vancouver is beautiful. Yeah. What's the variable or the need to go to Nova Scotia?
Oh, my God.
Anything?
It's just or looks all? Beautiful. Everything. It looks beautiful. Absolutely mm-hmm. beautiful. That's where the Loch Ness Monster is too, though. Mm-hmm. Supposedly.
But if you go to Zion, then you could see the, you know, Bigfoot. They're both in the same category. But I would love to go with the family is just we want to do Telluride, get in the mountains there. It's all wilderness and mountainous and beyond that, that's me winning the battle from wilderness to beach.
So
Molly's a beach one.
I see. I'm more wilderness.
Beach. Are you?
Yeah. I'm not. Look, I'm pale.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah, I'm pale. Like, the beach does not do well for me. Mm. I mean, I love the water and I love going, like, we were just up in Geneva. I absolutely relaxing and mm. definitely rejuvenating. However, if I had the choice between the two, I will always choose the mountains or a city.
You know what people did? They might not discount the mountain experience. But maybe they just never experienced it to compare beach versus, again, mountain nature. The best thing about being in the mountains, it forces you to disconnect.
Yes.
Very hard to get reception.
No, you so, can't. You have to get to a certain height in order to get to your reception.
And
again.
As soon as you get in that pocket, you might be able to connect. And then you keep walking and moving and experiencing and you're done. You don't have – nobody has access to you.
So really, ideally, we're talking about all these places to go. So our advice to you with the money that you're saving with the low rates that Union Home Mortgage is offering is to be able to – or from refining is to stock up that money so then you could either travel stateside or abroad.
Well, look at rents. You know the interest rate on rent is 100%.
There you go.
It's always 100%.
It is.
But rents are high.
They are high.
And out of proportion. So when you consider purchasing, a lot of times your mortgage is going to be less expensive than what you're paying in rent.
Well, also real quick to talk about that, mm-hmm. I do have a friend that is an investor and does have rental properties mm-hmm. In Pennsylvania. And what he is in the process of trying to get new renters
mm-hmm.
because renters right now are buying.
Yeah.
Because the rates are so low.
Yep. So, rising up.
Yep. So it's a good thing.
Yep.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Mr. Cromer, for attending the Homes and Homps podcast today.
Well, I appreciate you having me. I'd love to come here and always, I would love to come back and chat about, you know, where the whole market environment is. Thanks for having me.
Definitely. Cheers.
Cheers.